We welcome in the host of the Jason Strudwick Show, second place finisher in the 2014 edition of Battle of the Blades, and also a member of 14 different professional sports teams.
And a Hall of Famer.
What?
The BC Hockey Hall of Fame. I mean, I don't know. Did you? It's a funny. That's
are
not
you, are you,
in yet.
Are you in the? Well, your yes. team is right.
I am a member of the Hall of Fame.
So, do they list the individual guys?
I have not seen it. I will see it. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm a Hall of Famer. How many people can say that?
Oh, it's true. It's true. No, they're letting anyone in that BC Hall of Fame, aren't they?
You win back to back. You're a captain on. I don't know. I guess you should get your name thrown about.
But you don't have your name retired by that team, do you?
That is a sole point. I'm kind of like, what's the right word? I refuse to go back there until I'm honored in the Ring of Honor. All my buddies, Huska, Nash, Doan, and Ingle, I get it. They own the team. They're in the Ring of Honor. I'm not in the
Ring
of
Honor. Is Tucker in the Ring of Honor?
Yeah, Tucker. Tucker. And I get it. He played 4 years there, an awesome player. But, I mean, I was there as well. It's a little bit.
Well, you're getting no. Has there been any sort of campaigns to get Strudwick in the Wall of Honor?
I've started plenty of times. Plenty of times. Not once have I even been asked. I'm a Hall of Famer.
Ugh.
Come on.
Wow.
What a joke.
That's tough.
It is. It's humbling.
It's tough when you don't get respect like that, do you?
I'm the Ronnie Dangerfield of those championship teams.
Oh.
Zero respect.
Oh.
That's fine. Whatever, I guess. Move on with life, right?
Well, can you move on, though? Bothers
me.
Should we start this? I didn't know it was that sense of a point.
Tyson,
I didn't know that many guys were in.
I love Nasher. But Nasher's that, and I'm not. Like, what's going on here?
But he won three championships.
He did. He was there 4 years. There's no doubt. The last one, I carried him on my back, basically. But, whatever. That's just semantics. The reality is, Ring of Honor would be nice. Not the Ring of Fire, Ring of Honor.
The Ring of Honor? Sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
Why not?
So hey, you might be one of those late inductees, right? Like, their organization's now in a downturn. And you know what? In 5 years, they'll be like, man, we haven't had an induction in a long time. We got to put somebody up there. Who can we? Hey, Strudwick. Well deserving. You know what? You shouldn't have been overlooked this long. We're happy to have you in.
Devin Dubnyk's on the Ring of Honor, and I'm not.
Really?
No, just kidding. Oh. I was feeling dramatic. I was like,
I was
going to
say,
there.
I was like, wow.
No,
did he
kidding.
Have a winning season? That would have been a burden, though, for you if he
boy,
was.
You want to talk about a poor guy's head spinning right now? Can you imagine where he's at? You know, let's go back to August, Griggs.
Yep.
He's probably thinking to himself, I have a good year. I'm probably getting a pretty nice extension. You know, probably a three-year extension, maybe longer. Who knows?
Yep.
Starts off poorly. Well, GM cuts the legs out from underneath him before the season starts with the comment that he, you know, if you have to ask the question if he's a starting goalie, it's
then
probably a problem.
You know the answer.
Then they move on to a bad start to the season. Really worst things that could happen for him. Put him as far ahead as to the trade to Nashville. Goes poorly there for him. Now to Canadians, down to the minors in Hamilton. The guy's head spinning. It's going to be really hard for him, I think, to get on track this season. But to save his career, not to save his career, but to get his career on track for next year, he's got to have a great finish to this year. That's 100% clear.
And even if he does, he's likely a guy who's on a one-year contract next year in a situation of a team that says, we might give you $1 million to be a backup, and you're probably going to play 20 games because we got a full-fledged starter. That's right where I don't see any other situation for him, and that's best-case scenario.
That is best case. I think $1 million might even be high.
Sure.
You know, he might have to go in and fight for a spot as a backup. It's just the poor guy's head is spinning like crazy right now. And, you know, we all recognize the fact that he hadn't played well. But think of the person here. The person right now is reeling. It'll be interesting to see him and follow his career over the next 12 to 18 months, see where it goes. Because he's really, really got to get things back on track right now, big time. And I was wrong about him. I thought he'd be a good start in the NHL, and I was completely wrong. So I stand corrected.
Hey, Gregor, can you ask Struds? I took a picture 20 years ago playing roller hockey, and it's in the Edmonton Sports Hall of Fame. Does that make me a Hall of Famer? Half.
I doubt it. Was it a nice picture?
Well, clearly, if it's in the Hall of Fame.
That's the NHL Hockey Hall of Fame? Or the?
No, the Edmonton Sports Hall of Fame.
Oh. Yeah, it's well. I,
which is probably a little higher up than the Kamloops Sports Hall of Fame.
Oh, I don't know.
If you're ranking.
BC Hockey Hall of Fame, I don't know.
Are you in the BC or the Kamloops?
Oh, it's BC.
Kamloops obviously doesn't have one.
Now that I'm saying, is it the BC Hockey Hall of Fame or BC Sports Hall of Fame? Probably both, actually, now that I think about it.
Oh,
Hall
man.
Of Famer. I got to get my business cards, actually. Bab, I know you're listening. I need new business cards with HOF on the side.
Yeah.
At the end, Jason Strudwick, HOF, right behind it. Like, people have PhD, HOF. Wouldn't you?
No, okay. I wouldn't, actually. Right. But but I like that. No, that's good. It's like Costanza's cards. I like those. Those are good. It's very good.
Same body.
Hey, Gregor, is Strud's the Eric Lindros of the Ring of Honor in Kamloops, Clayton? No, Strud's never been concussed. At least not publicly.
No, but not that it was documented.
Yeah. Like, you've obviously been concussed a few times based on some of the words you make up, so I'm going to think you probably were at some point, but you just don't know about it.
You know what? I it's hard to say. I don't remember. I think maybe once I can think of, but I was pretty lucky. The mouth guard makes a difference. People say it doesn't, but I really think a mouth guard really absorbs some of that shock. Instead of your teeth rattling around, absorbs that shock.
True. Probably the fact that, you know, you let guys go into the corner first so you could hit them rather than them hit you. Smart move.
Yeah, I was definitely a guy that shied away from the hitting.
Well, no, just because they had speed. They got there first.
Well, I think early on in my career I was getting there pretty quick. But I think, honestly, when I look at it, I think a big thing of it is it was the style of game I played, right? I wasn't cutting through the middle very often. I was putting the pucks in and –
guys weren't really running. Well, back when you played, defensemen were allowed to hold up their partner to protect them a little bit.
Well, the first few years, but after 2004-05, it changed. Mm-hmm. And I really think there's got to be some kind of adjustment. It's dangerous out there right now. You know, I've talked to quite a few GMs and coaches that I know, and they say that right now to be a defenseman in the NHL is the hardest position because you have to get back so quick with full pressure, and the expectations are you make a pass. The hard rim is not something that people find sexy anymore. The expectations to make a direct pass under pressure. It's really, really hard. And for me, you watch these games, and, you know, I'm as critical as the next guy on the D-man, and I'm not making those passes often enough. But it is so hard. And I think, you know, for me, I forget maybe how hard it is. And for some people, they don't appreciate how hard it is to make that first pass. The players that do it and make it look easy, it really is a skill set. But for the most part, man, it is really, really hard. And you know, it's. I think something's got to be, they changed the icing. I'd still like to see some way you can maybe interfere, maybe outside the blue line, somewhere just to give those guys an extra half second to get the play moving, but also to protect those D-men.
Let them get hit.
You're not into it, eh?
No, I haven't seen a lot of defensemen getting hurt on that play now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of teams carry the puck in more than used to. So it's... I could see if it was a big issue. We haven't seen a lot. I think defense were getting smart, obviously, in how they go back, what angles they're taking to get themselves up against the boards.
Okay.
You know, thankfully, you're not seeing guys get crushed all over the ice. Because the problem is, if you open up Pandora's box just a hair for holding up guys, the next thing you know, it's going to be everybody just, you know, grabbing on and going for a ride.
Water skiing, they used to call it. Yeah, I guess I'm just like the old goalies that say, you know, the goal equipment can never be big enough, right?
Wow, the goal equipment's a joke.
And I think you got to protect. I think you got to protect the D-men more. And it's tough because watch those guys go get back together. They're under pressure all the time. It's amazing. And I had one guy tell me that they tell their players to let the forward get there first.
Yeah,
let the forward get there first, and you take the hit. You hit him, pin him. The center comes and fishes the puck out, and you go out that way. Smart play.
Hey, boys, I go to a fair number of order games, usually sit up in the bleachers, but last night I had the luxury of sitting in row 5, and I'll tell you something, it wasn't the speed of the game or the size of the players that jumped out to me from the different perspective. It was the recognizable looks of exasperation on the face of the forwards every time our defensemen try to transition a puck to them in our own end. I play junior A, and while I have no delusions as to my ceiling as a player, I can tell you that the poor decisions that most of our defensemen make, I didn't see very often. I'm a Petrie fan, but the only exception to my comment is Marincin. That's a revelation that is twice as scary as it is exciting. That one comes from Diesel. Defensemen, obviously, they're not blessed with a ton of good puck movers. Last night, the first two periods were horrific for pretty much everybody on the ice. I don't know if I would – if the forwards were looking with looks of exasperation, I'm guessing the defensemen were looking at, like, the same thing, thinking feel free to have an effort. Because the first 40 minutes, they were horrific.
It works both ways. You know, you got to – the D-men do have to get back quicker and make the quick plays under pressure. But, Greg, the thing I've noticed and something I've really seen lately is the forwards, you have to come back and support your D. You know, you can't just slowly come back and slowly get in a position. When they're under pressure, I notice the thing that Ferentz does often, he expects the player to be on the wall. So if he goes back and he's a right defenseman on this night, he'll just do a no-look rim up the wall, expecting the right wing to get there. And there's times where the guys get back there so softly, so slowly, that no one's there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ends up being a turnover, and they're stuck in their zone again. So, you know, it works both ways. Come back for their support, and the D-man's got to make quicker plays. But, listen, the game last night, I'm not going to put it on the shoulders of the D-man. I put it on the whole team. There was zero emotional connection to that game. The only guy I think that stood out for me the first two periods, Mark Fraser, best game as an Oiler by a mile. I thought Ryan Smith really had a nice game for himself, and Scrivens. Those are the two, three guys, maybe give or take. You could probably throw in a couple guys, but three guys that I thought really emotionally connected this game to start the game. And then it's not good enough. And I know they're out of the playoffs, and I've been in those positions before. It's not fun. But you have to be responsible and help your teammates out and show up and play hard. And I know that management is watching and seeing who is committed to this and not.
Well, the thing about it that's interesting is this is the same situation that the majority of these guys that have been here have been in. This is not new to them. And if they don't approach it to say, okay, I got to do something different, it's going to be Groundhog Day again next year for this team. I know we've had a lot of, some fans who want the Oilers to tank it to get Ekblad. First of all, you can't tank on purpose. You can't ask Ben Scrivens not to play well, right? If the team's that bad or they get injured enough, then guess what? They'll lose. There's no doubt. But if your goalie's playing as well as Scrivens, you're going to have a chance to win. Even if you're horrible for 40 minutes, we saw that last night. But you getting Ekblad, while it'll be great, it won't show the other guys how to work harder. It won't have them recognize what they need to do to win. It won't give them any confidence in their own individual games. At some point, you can't just have a loser mentality from the fans. And the players definitely can't have one, Struds. And I've talked about this ad nauseum. To me, it's a red flag when there's that many former players and other teams' coaches talking about the intensity level of practice. And I talked about this yesterday on my show, and I was amazed at how many people were, oh, no, everything's fine. Give me a break. If Schmid's saying it and Brizgalov's saying it and Barry Trotz is questioning it and Ken Hitchcock's questioning it, to me, it's an issue. And it's not just the coach. It's on the players. You played. When you're in practice and you're in Chicago or you're in New York or you're in Vancouver, the tone of practice, is it not really controlled by the players?
You know, the coach can right the ship every now and then, make a direction or a course change. But overall, it's the players that push the level up because skating so fast and working so hard and getting going. And it's, you know, you look at the Oilers' practice. And for me, it's a little bit too relaxed out there. You know, when's the last time you saw a fight in the Oilers' practice? A disagreement in practice?
That's a really good question. I don't watch.
No, we're not at every practice.
But you would hear about it, and I haven't heard about it. And I've been to a fair amount of them. I haven't seen. I haven't heard about it from, you know, guys like Joukowsky and Matheson. Yeah. They're there all the time. That's a fair point.
You know, if you're practicing intensely, don't you think every now and then there's a disagreement?
Was there any when you played with the Oilers?
Not that I really remember.
Yeah. See, so that now we're dating back.
No,
that's 6 years now.
But you know,
from your first year,
it's okay. It's okay to have fights on the – like, I mean, maybe not fights, but slashing contests. You know, you've seen all kinds of things. It's because you're practicing hard and battling in the corners and working, you know, let's say a drill. A drill, I love a 3-on-3 down low. I love it, two D-men and a centerman or a forward against an offensive line. And there's got to be high competition. You know, we used to do this drill all the time in New York and Chicago and Vancouver. And the coach would be on you, yelling at you to play hard on the forwards. And the forwards get mad because you maybe run them. Then all of a sudden you start slashing each other, maybe in a punches exchange. It's fine. But that carries over into the game because you get that edge, that little bit of anger.
Yep.
You know, and I watched the Oilers play.
They have none of it.
And I watched the practice. And it's just, you know, you don't see it enough. And when I look at things like Mark Fraser last night. Where have you been, Mark Fraser? The way he played last night, if he plays like that night in, night out, he'll be on this end. He'll be a part of the Oilers for years. You know, he can bring something that no one else can bring. I recognize the fact that Mark Fraser has to be able to make plays to pass the puck. But at his best, on his best day, Mark Fraser will not be able to skate or make passes like Phil Larson. He, yeah. there's, on his best day and Phil Larson's worst day, he cannot compete with Phil Larson. But he's not here to try to make that play like that. He is here with the Oilers to do what he did last night. You know, cross-check guys after the play in front of the whistle or during the play. You know, when someone runs or gets a little too close to the goalie, smack him around a bit, then Martin has to come in and respond. That is what Fraser is here for. Mark Fraser, sorry. He's here for that. He's got to do that night in, night out. And he's got to do it in practice. You know, I talked to some guys in Toronto. They said he would do that in practice there. And I'd like to see him do it here. You know, if the worst thing in the world, if he maybe runs, you know, Nuge a little hard in practice. Not running, but just plays a little harder on him. Because Nuge, I can see he's trying to bring that where he looks guys in the eyes. And I always talk about it, looking other teams in the eyes. He's starting to do that. I don't see it from Eberle enough, and I don't see it from Hall enough. I want to see that from the Perron's always looking everybody in the eye. Hendricks, look at the way he plays. He's like, I'm here. I'm on the same level as you. You got to look
and
guys in the eye.
And he's been crushing guys. Those hits, they were, like, it's interesting. People were like, oh, hits don't matter in the game.
Oh, please.
It matters because it can wear a guy. Did you see Justin Schultz get crushed early in that game? Did you see his body language?
Yeah.
That sticks with you a lot of time. Now, maybe only for a few shifts, but if it makes you just a little bit stiffer or something, that can be the difference in the NHL in a split second for you getting to a puck and not getting to it.
I firmly believe in hitting. I think you got to have a physical tone to your game, especially when you get into a tougher building or you get into a playoff series. I mean, if there's physical play, and you got to have that ability to wear the other team down and punish the other team's defensemen. And Hendricks does a great job. I mean, he gets in there and he's playing, you know, the one hit. Which one does he hit? Was it Purcell or no? Prosser. Hit Prosser from behind. I actually thought it was a penalty. You know, Prosser shouldn't turn his back, but at the same time, I actually thought that was a penalty in my opinion. But there's a lot of things that I kind of like about his game. But I want to see that from Hendricks. I want to see that from Fraser more consistently. I'd like to see Ferentz. You know, I recognize he's a captain, maybe a little bit older, but I'd still like to see more of that from Ferentz. You know, just a few more guys that can bring that harder to play against element. And really, really important. When you're on that ice and you're out there, you see your teammates doing it, it makes the guys that are maybe more fearful stand up a little taller. And it's not even fighting. It's just a willingness to compete and battle and make it uncomfortable to be on that ice.
It's something, and until you change some, because I don't think the player struds have it. I don't think there's enough of them. Right, you need some of them. I don't know if you can magically bring that into a player. Do you think you can?
You can ask them to do it. But, you know, if you have to keep asking a player, it's not there naturally. You know, Hendricks, it's there naturally. Maybe he understands that that's his role, and he's accepted that. He's a smart guy if that's the case. But for a lot of players, it's not natural to go out there and play that way. But, you know, you have to contribute. You know, whether you're the top line or the fourth line, you have to contribute in a lot of ways. You have to contribute on the forecheck. You know, you have to contribute on every now and then, driving that net hard, being physical, back-checking. I mean, it's a team game. And I recognize that the top-line guys are there to score goals. But, you know, you're part of a team, and you have to contribute and be a part of the overall team game plan, which is to play good team defense. You know, you hear Dallas Eakins talk about all the time. You know, you listen to those post-game scrums, Griggs. How many times do you hear, I'll play them after the game. I'll get two or three guys. And it's the same thing every time. We didn't. Well, if they win, they said, well, we stuck to the game plan. We did the details. We got the puck in. We got the puck out. And when they lose, they say, well, we didn't follow the game plan. We weren't attentive to the details. And you know what? Players don't just create this stuff in their mind. That is coming right out of the mouth of Dallas Eakins. Eakins says that probably 10 minutes before the media goes in there, and now they're repeating it to the media. That is what Dallas Eakins telling them. So that's how you interpret and read between the lines. Players usually repeat what their coaches tell them. So that's a big issue for this Oilers team. If you're hearing it from the players, that means the coach is thinking the same thing. And, you know, Jack Capuano, after the game last night, he made some good points saying, you know, every shift is important. You know, you can't take a shift off because that's the shift that turns the tide. You know, the Oilers, I felt, kind of turned the tide of the game the last 5 minutes of the second period. They got some energy going. You know, Smitty's line had a good shift. They kind of got it rolling. And that, it just takes that one little shift to all of a sudden get your foot in the door, and then the next line comes out as a good shift, and then we saw what happens. Oilers end up coming back and winning the game in overtime. You know, if the Islanders play a solid second period, that last 5 minutes, don't let the Oilers have a sniff, they probably win this game 3-0 walking away. So it's every shift is so important. You know, and maybe at times the fans and the media have a tendency to stand too far back and just look at the whole picture. But coaches, they look at it shift by shift, five-minute segment. It's so, so important for these guys to respect each shift and what they can bring and make a difference. So that's why I'm saying, let's say the Last night, the Hall line was fantastic. Hall, Gagne, Yakupov. Great. They combined for 13 shots, had a great offensive game. Eberle, Perron, and Nuge, for me, weren't as good. So if you're not clicking offensively, you know, what are they really doing out there? You know, if they're not scoring points and they're not physical, Perron was engaged. If you're not back-checking hard.
Yeah, they're not doing their job if they're not scoring.
But what are those – then what are they doing?
Nothing.
And that's what I mean. So why are they continuing to get ice time if an offensive line is not creating offense? What are they doing?
Because the coaches hold out hope that eventually they will.
But I'm saying, as a good teammate, you recognize that we're sitting on the bench, we're like, Griggs, we don't have a going tonight. You know, we're not going to get offense. Let's try to just get some good fortune.
Yes, okay.
Let's try to bring a different element to our game. And that's what a good teammate does. And winning teams find a way to
do
that.
So that's where I asked you, do you think the players have it within them to recognize that? To say, you know what, okay, tonight, doesn't mean you're not going to still try to produce points, but you have to look and say, man, we got to be way better defensively tonight. We got to make sure we're making no mistakes in our own zone because we're snake bitten tonight offensively. Or, you know what, boys? Hey, we might have to chip and chase a little bit. That's not normally our game. Remember, we're puck possession. Let's chip and chase, try to change the momentum up.
Absolutely. And that's
what Do you think the players, though, have that in them? That's my question.
I do not think they do.
Okay.
Not because, you know what?
They haven't showed it. I agree.
I think their youth shines through, and maybe there's no one there that's older that can tell them that that's what you have to do. Now, people at home are probably saying, Strutty, you're crazy. You're crazy. If Nugent Hopkins isn't scoring, he shouldn't have to go and maybe get a physical or be really sound defensively. That's how it works on good, successful teams. That's just the way it is. If you are an offensive line, you're not scoring, what are you doing? It's just the same. I'll go with the third and fourth lines. If you are a player on the third or fourth line, and you're most likely not a role that's going to score a lot of goals. But if you are out there and you don't kill penalties, you're not good defensively, and you're not physical, what are you doing out there? Why are you even on the team? And that's where a player has to take a look inside and say, okay, you know what? I'm a third line winger, a fourth line winger. I've got to do everything I can to contribute to this team. The most easy example is the big boy, Luke Gadzik. I recognize he's not a top two line player, but he knows exactly what his role is. He goes out and does it, never shies away from it. He's giving you everything. He gives you everything he can. He gets his hits. He makes it happen. He does everything he can. Ryan Smith, another perfect example. Ryan Smith, his legs aren't what they used to be, but he still find a way to contribute. He's changed his role, and he's contributing as much as possible in that role. The Oilers need more guys like that up and down the line to recognize that they themselves have to give more when things aren't going offensively, if they're a top-line player, and if they're a third or fourth-line player, you got to go out there and do more. And Jesse Joonas, who's a great example. I thought Jesse had a pretty good game last night, but every night he has to find a way to be a difference maker out there and contribute something this team doesn't have. And if not, they will find someone who will do it. Not guaranteed they will.
Well, I've said it for years, man. The people always want to look at the coaching change. And I'm not saying the coaching staff's perfect. I expect them to get some more experience on their coaching staff without a doubt. But if your players don't adhere and adapt to what is necessary to win on the ice, regardless of the system you play, you're not going to win. And it's been that way for 5 years.